Hello, and welcome back to another episode of ABA Mom. I'm your host, Allie, a mom of five and a board certified behavior analyst.
And I'm Erica, an RBT and student analyst and a mom of two.
Today, we're going to talk about something very relevant considering tomorrow is New Year's Eve. We're going to be talking about New Year's and goal setting and using ABA strategies to set your goals for the new year and not to completely overwhelm yourself by having way too many goals. So one thing we're looking for is fresh new goals and not perfection. High New Year's goals often fail. Some common New Year goals, there's a lot of common New Year goals traps. So a lot of things that happen are people create these big goals that are like, I want to lose 100 pounds, or I want to, you know, which I say a bunch of times, but like, you know, I want to be a millionaire or whatever. These are very big goals.
I totally didn't hear you say that today, though, right?
Yeah, I totally did.
$2 million house?
You know what? There's nothing wrong. It was a $2 million house, right? Yeah. And I saw pictures, six bedrooms, enough for everybody to have a room. I love it.
Yeah.
And a pool, and it's on the beach. So like you just like walk. I think it's perfect. And it's only $2 million.
That's it.
Right. It's only $2 million. The idea is like to obtain these goals. Like they're so, these are like what we would say if we were writing like a behavior plans for our clients. Like we have long-term goals. Like these are like the goals overall, like independent, totally able to do all these things by themselves. Like that is the goal. The goal is to achieve all these things. But there's a reason they're called long-term goals, because we have all these short-term goals to get to the long-term. So, and we have to slowly shape behavior and create those goals over a period of time. So I feel like that's a big trap. Another one is the goals are very vague. I want to be a millionaire. Like, I think that's a very big goal. How are you going to get there? Like, what are your steps to be a millionaire? What are your steps to lose 100 pounds? Like, what are your steps? Like, you need some kind of plan to achieve those goals.
I mean, you'd weigh, like, you'd be in the negatives.
Be the first person, like, I'm negative.
I always need to, like, that I need to lose, like, 70 pounds or 80 pounds or whatever it is. And then, you know me. I'm just like, whoa, that task is too big. So I shut down and it doesn't happen. I go the other way. Instead of going down, I go up. So what I realize is just setting myself a little goal. Like, I've lost 20 pounds since July. And it's because I'm just focused. Woo! I'm just focused on losing whatever, 15 pounds or whatever. I'm focused on the smaller goal. And then when I reach it, it gives me motivation. And then I'm just like, cool, let's lose another 15. Let's lose another 15. And I know that doing it that way, I'm going to reach my goal. It's not a possibility, Allie. It's happening. And so another thing I wanted to mention, and a therapist I saw a couple years ago told me this, and I don't have the original, but I drew this up before. I don't know if you could see it.
Give you, but yeah, I can kind of see if you like pull it back. Yeah.
So I see it's Erica. Called, that's me. So I think it's called, I can't remember the name of it, but I think it's a mind map. And so it's, you know, it's got my name on there. And so she kind of had me break up. She told me, like, give me four or five things that you're really passionate about that you want to change in your life. Cause I felt so overwhelmed with so much. And it's like, I need to super ADD, love my list, but then my list are in one notebook and then they're in another and then they're on a random paper and I lose everything. And my brain is just so scrambled all the time. So on this, I wrote pretty much school, kids, work, health. I feel like there was probably something else. And then from this task, the school task, she had me break that down. I wrote my little notes on the back. She pretty much had me write down what steps I needed to take to get to my goal of school, which FYI, I completed like 2 weeks ago. So yay. And so I had to research the school. I had to research the school, talk to people that went to that school, which may have been you as well. Just saying, do my letter of intent, my application, my diploma. Like I broke it up into smaller tasks. And something that I've postponed, I'm not even kidding, since, oh geez, I've been wanting to go back for my master's since Adam was probably like two. So like 8+ years, I've been putting this off because it seemed like such a huge task. I accomplished everything, submitted, got my diploma, everything, submitted everything to the school within like 2 weeks. And like, makes me feel crazy because it's like it's something so simple, but it felt so overwhelming.
Yeah.
So things like that. And then same thing with health. Break it down. What does that mean? Oh, okay, you're going to change your diet a little bit. You're going to go to the gym. You're going to do little steps to achieve that goal. So I think that breaking it down helps a lot. Sorry, that was a long ramble. But like school was a big challenge.
I totally agree. And like finishing school is such a long-term goal. So you have to break it down, like, you know, one step at a time. Like, what's your first step? So like do your own like task analysis. Like even if you're in like one class, like breaking it down, be like, okay, like what are my steps to get through the semester? Or what are my steps to get through this week or this day?
Yeah.
Like even just break it down each step.
Mm-hmm.
I had a conversation with like a telehealth family that I was working with, and they were talking about teeth brushing for their child and how hard it is, like, because they like go back, they have trouble like with to get the back of their mouth, they have trouble with the toothpaste, and they're like, it's so easy because you put the toothpaste on, you put your tooth, like you put the toothpaste on your toothbrush, you take the toothbrush and you brush your teeth, right? And then it's done, rinse out your mouth, like you're done brushing your teeth. Well, what I kind of talked about the parents after learning more about what was going on with the toothbrushing and all the things that he's getting so frustrated over, like how like literally get like just start squeezing the toothpaste like over the mirror and like has such a hard time. And part of that is the fine motor. And part of it is just, I think there's just way too many steps for him for teeth brushing. And so, you know, we do like what we call like total task chaining or forward chaining or backward chaining. And so what I kind of recommended to them is that a good strategy would be to do, that's something that we're like, we can kind of tell our clients, like we can kind of see like the bigger, like, okay, like they're all of these steps are too much. And like teeth brushing to them is like three steps, but teeth brushing to this kiddo is like 13 or 15 steps. Like it's a lot more steps. So, and I think we get in that mindset too. It's like something that can seem, feels so simple, feels like a lot more than what it is. So I think that's a big part of the problem too. Like, you know, saying I want to lose 100 pounds, like there's a lot of steps to getting to 100 pounds.
Well, like, and then that's the thing too, because when you talked about too many goals at once, like, you know, when somebody goes on a diet, right, what do? They take out all the carbs. They do all these extreme things. And then they go to the gym 5 days out of the 7 days. You know, they go to the gym. They burn themselves out. It's not sustainable. So, like, when you have all these goals, none of it's going to last very long. So, you know, just take it little by little. What I've noticed is that when I moved to Florida, you know, I cut out, like, things like red meat and some pork. Not completely, but, like, took some of it out. And I started feeling better. And then you eat more fruit because it's so hot. Not like today. Today's like the North Pole down here at 53 degrees.
I was not ready for today. Painful. I woke up and I had somebody text me and it's like, it's freezing outside. And I said, no, I don't want to go out.
When I saw the weather yesterday, I was like, oh, it's going to be like 55. Like these people in Florida, they overreact. And I was dying today. It was horrible. But and you walking around with your bone broth in a cup.
I know. I need it. So you know what? Today, to do that right now with a bone broth was like such a great idea because it's so cold. Like it kept my body. But I was like shaking. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't handle my body.
That was horrible. And so, you know, you modify little things little by little. It's like your kiddo with the toothbrushing, right? It's like you're introducing that task analysis or you're introducing that goal and then you're just giving the kid the toothbrush and the toothpaste and you're like, here you go. He's not going to be able to do it. You need to break things down little by little, modify it as you go. And I don't know if that was a good example, but that was the first thing that came to my head, you know, and I feel like those things are more sustainable. And it's like, because if you go on a crash diet for, I don't know if people could even do it for 6 months, but you're going to lose a lot of weight, but it's like, it's coming right back and then you're going to gain even more. So it's like, you know, just, you have a lot of goals, but you got to pick one or two that you really want to focus on, conquer that. Once you're done with that, then move on to your next thing. Because when you're balancing two plates.
And it needs to be sustainable too, because I would be very frustrated if I'm doing a cat, which I honestly, like, I grew up with that because, like, my grandmother's on this earth anywhere and I love her very much. She has a lot of great things about her, but she pushed those diets, like, so hard. Like, you know, 1 year for Easter, she got me a tub of Slim Fast.
It's such an 80s and 90s thing, though.
Yeah, and it was. And it was, I think it was like a generational thing too, because like she grew up with all those fad diets. And then she just kind of, she seriously wanted me to like look good, feel healthy, all of those things. And that's the way she kind of knew how to do it. Her approach maybe wasn't the best. It wasn't, I don't think it was in any way intentionally harmful. But I know that when I was a teenager trying to do all of these crash diets, like it definitely affected, I think it's affected my metabolism now.
Yeah.
And so, and healthy eating is hard. And then like you said, like losing weight, like fast, like losing all that weight and then not being able to keep it off is frustrating, because it's like, I worked so hard to do this thing and went on these diets and then I did, it didn't, it wasn't sustainable. So I think that's another point too, is like your goals should be sustainable. Like even if it takes you longer to achieve those goals, like you want sustainable goals.
Yeah.
And another thing too, I think is really important, is if there's no reinforcement built into the goals, like you have to reinforce yourself. Like if you're going to self-monitor your own behavior, you have to be able to reinforce what it is that you're doing. Like you need to find something reinforcing.
And with reinforcement too, you know, it doesn't have to be anything tangible. Even though when I lose my massive amount of weight, I'm getting myself new gym clothes. I've already put it on my list. Like when
I lose that.
30 pounds,
new gym clothes.
Yeah. Cause like it was funny. Cause like a long time ago, I tried this and I was just like, okay, when I lose X amount of weight, I'm going to take myself out for like a treat. And it was of course food. And it's like, maybe I shouldn't do that. So I'm just like, you know, I'm a mom. I don't buy new stuff for myself ever. Everything's like hand-me-downs from my other mom friends. And so I'm just like, you know, the good thing is that down like, I think it was 15 to 20 pounds. So I'm like, I'm so close to new gym clothes. But my favorite reinforcement is like with the gym, just going there and people are just like, oh, you're kicking ass. And I was like, yes, I am. Thank you. And it's like, I love my verbal praise as my supervisor. I think you know that. I really like being told like, hey, you're competent. Good job. No, I'm just kidding. But that like, you're doing a good job. So, you know, it doesn't always necessarily have to be something tangible. I don't know. Sorry.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. And I think people get stuck on that sometimes, like that it has to be something tangible. But I think the verbal praise, or, you know, I think a lot of people call it like words of affirmation, right? So like, it's like, it's kind of the same concept. Like you have to be able to like, sometimes if nobody else is giving you like the verbal praise and you're monitoring your own behavior. So I'm the one getting on the scale. I'm the one kind of like putting in the work. And if nobody else is like, hey, you're looking good today. Look at you. Like, do you losing weight? Like if nobody else says that to you, like you have to be the one to like, look at yourself and say that to yourself. Like give yourself the verbal praise. Like be like, I'm doing great. Look at me. Like, you know, and it's not always to like, I know a lot of, and I'm not in no way like a dietitian at all, but I know that they say like the scale, like not so much focus on the scale, but to focus on like how you feel and how, so how you feel. And then also like the way your clothes fit in inches and things like that. So there's
and
other
taking
things.
Photos.
Yeah.
Taking photos.
I like that too.
Yeah.
That's good.
You don't think how much you can change. Cause you know, I don't remember how long it took, but I remember my weight didn't, I think I went down like 4 pounds and I was like, I was like kicking ass for like 2 months. I went down 4 pounds of fat, but I went up like, I don't remember how many pounds in muscle. So I was just like, yes. So I was, you know, I felt defeated. If I would have looked at a normal scale, I would have been defeated because I was like all that work and I lost 4 pounds. So something simple like that. But when you look at the before and after pictures, it's like then you see like the recomposition.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great example too. I remember I've done several weight loss journeys. And I just remember one I was doing where I lost like 50 pounds. And I like had a photo of me. Actually, no, this was, I graduated. This was in 2017 when I graduated from UWF and I was heavier than I wanted to be. And I have a picture of me standing outside in like my UWF shirt and stuff like that. And then, I think because too, I didn't have the pressure of school at the time. So I was able to kind of focus on my health. And then I lost a few pounds and I just happened to have that other picture of me and I went and I put them like back to back and I was like, yeah. Oh my gosh, like, that's crazy. Like, so I think that picture is like that permanent product.
Mm-hmm.
it's great to have, even if you that wasn't your plan, and like go back and look at the old photos and like, oh my gosh, like I'm really doing it. Like, this is really like I'm doing a great job, like from where I was. So I think another thing too that is kind of when people aren't consistent with their New Year's resolutions and all of their goals is that some of like the stimulus like in their environment. So, you know, you could talk all day about eating healthy, but like you've got to have like something in your environment. Like you've got to, right, have healthy food. You've got to, like some people do like the meal prepping and things like that. Like, so you have to have like good things like in your environment. And then I think if you also have people that, because not everybody does have other people in their lives that are encouraging, but I think if you do and you tell other people like, hey, like I'm doing this weight loss, and you have other people in your environment to support you on that journey, that's helpful too. And I know not everybody has that. And some people, like if you've been on a lot of diets before or whatever, like people start to go, okay, yeah, whatever, like good, we'll see when it happens. But that's an important piece too. It's just that support system. If you're able to have it, if you're lucky enough to have it. If not, then I suggest like there's different groups like, you know, on Facebook or whatever where you can find like, you know, some support, some people going through the same thing.
Yeah, I agree. I've been to a couple of gyms before and, you know, just everybody in your life is always we're all trying to lose weight somehow. Or, you know, there's always something. And this is the first time that I have a group chat with the people from the gym. And it really is like a small community.
That's really awesome.
I love it. That. And so we're always swapping like recipes and we're always just kind of talking about like our small victories. Like I remember one time within like 2 weeks, I had dropped like a whole jean size. And I was like, guys, like I don't remember this ever happening in my adult life. Like
awesome.
To me, I'm just like, I wish I could tell them I lost like 20 pounds or something. But to me,
right.
I think it was more motivational for them to see like, oh, she went down a whole jean size in 2 weeks or whatever it was.
Yeah, that's like amazing.
Yeah. And so you want to know what I just sent in the group chat about an hour ago? Because I'm insane. There's a thing called the DECA. I'm so bad at all the challenges. It's like DECA something where it's, I think, created by the people that did Spartan Race. I don't know if you remember that from like years ago. I feel like
I kind of remember that. Like, yeah. I vaguely remember that.
And so it's like intense challenges. And I told them I want to try to compete. There's one in DeLand February 21st. And so that's coming up. So I'm going to be jacked by like mid-February, okay? So I'm really excited, but it's going to be like a lot of stuff going on, you know, all the things that I'm juggling, but you know, I'm setting that goal for myself. I'm going to pay the money to go. And it's stuff like there's 10 different stuff and I'm going to hopefully find a partner. Maybe you, if you want to join me, if you're up for the challenge. And then what's crazy about it is you essentially run, I don't know if I'm going to do this specific one. You essentially run a 5K in the middle of doing all this stuff. So between each interval, you run essentially like half a mile. So I don't know what's wrong with me, but I'm just like, worst case scenario, the lady that owns the gym told me, she's like, worst case scenario, everyone leaves with a medal as long as they finish. And I was like, all right,
you get a medal. So that might be a motivation for you.
Something that might take 45 minutes might take me 6 hours, but I'll finish at some point. Crawling, just dragging myself. I'm setting my goal, and there's something about when you put the money on that goal, you know, that you're just like, well, I gotta at least show up. I'm paying $50 or whatever it costs.
Yeah, so, especially if you're paying for it. Like that's one thing. You know, it's like, oh, I guess I gotta go.
I know. Were you saying that you want to go? What was that? Sorry,
just kidding. I don't think that's what I said. I don't know if I'm ready. I don't know if I have skills yet to go do that. Yeah, like I'll have to work on it.
It'd be really cool because like that's why I'm trying to like brainwash people in the group chat to see like who's down. Because if you have a partner, if you have somebody not holding you accountable, but somebody you can just kind of like one friend, every day I send them what my macros are and something simple like that, where it's like, I don't even care about the calories. I'm making sure that I hit my goals in that specific thing. And it's somebody to like, you know, share your misery, but it's fine. It's going to be fine. And I think it's going to be fun. And I hope
everything
I'm alive.
Is on fire behind me, but it's fine. It's totally fine. Don't worry about it.
It's really crazy.
That sounds like a really great goal for you. Like,
yeah.
Sounds great. And especially, that's true though. If you put the money down, like it's kind of like, I guess I'm going to go, because I don't really like to like just throw money out there on projects that I'm not going to do. So I think that's a great way to get you to show up. Like, because like, if nothing else, like you'll be there.
Yeah.
And you'll finish.
I think it'll be good.
Yeah.
Hopefully that's really exciting. If I don't get a partner, I don't know what I'll do, but we'll see. We'll see if anybody wants to do it.
I think I know somebody will be your partner. Like, if you ask them.
You?
No, I don't think it was me. I think there's somebody else that I was thinking.
I don't know.
So it's important to turn our resolutions like into tasks that are manageable and like making our goals smarter. So you can use ABA to do those tasks that we were just talking about, like self-monitoring your own behavior. One thing too is to break it down to small steps. So something we call a task analysis, and an important way to kind of decide where you are with your goals and where you want to be is to take your own baseline.
Sorry. Hold on, Allie. Come here, Adam. I want him to show you something. We're going to have to cut this, but it's funny. And I can't
maybe function. Not. If it's funny, maybe not.
I think it's great. He just put together part of his Lego. Do you want to be on a podcast, Adam? Do you want to be on a podcast? Your creation? Sure. Are you bringing more? Okay. He came over and asked me if I wanted a pretzel. I said, no, thank you. But yeah, he did it anyways. But
young. I'll stick to my bone broth.
What's a pretzel dungeon? Thanks. Oh,
I like pretzels. Thanks. That's fun.
Hey, Mom. Do you want a pretzel?
Sure. Thank you. Delicious.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so I kind of put money out and all of it fit. And I was like, please, sir, give me some money.
It's always important to know where you are, to know where you're going. Some important things to know is where you start. Where are we? Like, how much do we know? How much can we do?
And so, like you mentioned before with the permanent product, well, let me get some stuff out here because I have a whole bunch of different things. So it's easier to see the progress you have if you have like a permanent product and you've tracked to see your journey. Sometimes as an RBT, you don't feel like you're making progress with certain programs. And then my one supervisor had mentioned like, hey, look at the data, because you know you're doing the same thing every single day and you don't see the change, you don't see the difference you're making. And then when you see the data and you're just like, whoa, that's so cool, I am making an effective change. And it's the same thing goes for everything else. And so I bought this off Amazon. It was a mistake. It meant I just wanted pretty much the first like 4 pages of it. I didn't just realize there were so many
just happy accidents.
No mistakes. I know, I guess so, because
Bob Ross said
there's apps for everything, but I guess it's different. Some people like it on paper. To me, the apps are good enough because I'm not going to lose it. This, I'll lose it, most likely. So this one, I don't know what we can see. So it tracks like the exercises, and then it has like the weight that you use and the rep, and then you could put the date. And what I think I'm going to do is just like yesterday, I did kettlebell swings. And so I put there that I did 25 pounds. And then 18 the first time around. And so probably in a month or two, I'll track that exercise again and see how much progress I've made. But like this, to me, I'm like, okay, I'm taking that baseline and seeing where I'm starting. And then when I'm all jacked for that competition, then I'm lifting 150 pounds, you know?
That's fine.
You know, manifesting, Allie. That was the word of the day, right?
I was the word of the day. We did talk about that today.
Yeah.
So which is not an ABA term, but I think it's interesting. Some of the things that go along with manifesting. And so manifesting, for those who don't know that are listening, is when you essentially, and my understanding of it, and it's like, again, this is not an ABA principle, but is when you have a desire and then you make that desire happen by your thoughts and behaviors, like, and a lot of it is acting like you already have it. So like, I'm already like, so you have that mindset, like they'll say like a millionaire mindset, or like you already have the mindset of somebody who weighs like whatever, like 130 pounds or whatever it is. So you already have the mindset that you already have that thing that you want. But also there's a lot of human behavior that goes along with manifesting. So there's the, like, the motivation is there. And then there's a lot of things, like, we have an ABA, we call it private events. So the things that we don't necessarily see that are going on in somebody's head. So if somebody has, like, a headache, we can't see that, but they know that they're having a headache. So if somebody's having negative thoughts, they know that they're having negative thoughts. We can't see and observe those negative thoughts, but we know that they're happening because, like, if ourselves, like, if I know if I'm having a negative thought and it's like, well, that was really stupid, or I'm dumb, or I'm fat, or whatever. Like, I know I'm having those thoughts. And if I say them aloud, somebody will hear me say them out loud, right? But they're all my thoughts. And then the idea is to change your behavior, because it's going to be really hard for you to achieve goals if you're stuck saying negative things. Like, if you're stuck in, like, a state of, like, negativity, it's really hard to achieve the things that you really want. Like, if you don't have the motivation, or you don't see them as achievable. Like, if you're like, I really want this, but I don't think I can have it. So manifestation is changing your mindset so that way you can have the things that you really want. And there's a lot of, like, spiritual things that, like, go along with it that aren't necessarily scientific, but the scientific piece is changing your behavior and to be able to reach your motivation, to be able to reach your goal. So anyways, yeah, so we did talk about that, Jay, because I sent Erica an invite for this time next year. And I said, and I won't be supervising you or anything like that. And I said, I'm going to send you an invite to a fancy dinner.
Did you see what I wrote back?
Did you write back?
I responded yes, but I was like, I may be washing my hair that day. Might not be able to go.
Okay, well, I guess I'll go have lobster and wine by myself.
I might be busy, you know? I don't know.
For being so wildly successful in our field. I guess, you know, I'll just eat lobster alone, or I guess I'll have Dan come. But I sent you the invite. It's like 1 year from now.
But yeah, and I think that's so important because, you know, I don't know. I, for a long time, didn't believe with the whole manifesting thing. And then, you know, a year I don't even want to mention right now, 2020, really knocked some sense into me and made me realize what was, like, really important in my life. And so, like, I'm focused totally on, like, I don't know how to explain it.
Oh, wait, hold on. What's this, Allie?
Dun, 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 fish board.
Oh, my gosh, Erica. No way. Mine's kind of, like, has older stuff, too, because it even has,
mine's,
like,
better. It's got more photos. I'm just kidding.
Because I was, like, I did this before I got married to Dan, like, my second marriage. Because I was, like, I'm going to marry him. And, like, so I put this on.
See?
And, like, our family. And it got bigger, which, like, you know, that was my motivation, I guess. And I also, this is Ireland, which is going to go. And then this is my big house with the pool.
You got to put the Sprinter van I told you about earlier.
This is, like, something that did happen. But this is also the keys to my new house. And I saw this thing. So another thing is Jim Carrey did this thing where he wrote himself a check for $10,000. And so $10 million. Was it $10 million or $10,000? Anyways, I wrote a check for $10 million to myself.
See? There you go.
Yeah.
I want to say it was $10,000, wasn't it?
I think it was.
It was something like that.
But I just I just said 10 million.
So yeah, why not? That's fine.
Take it. Yeah, 10 million's probably good.
I think it's so, like, we did this at the gym, and I think it's so cool because I went
those
with
are great visual motivators. Like, yeah. It's great.
I went with, like, 4 or 5 things, and I'm like, cool, that's going to be enough. And then I realized I filled in, like, a quarter of my board, and I was like, I need more stuff, guys. And of course, everyone had stuff. They sell now vision board books off Amazon, so it has all these inspirational quotes and all these cool things. So, like,
you and I, yeah, what did you share? I shared mine because I just, like, under. Let me see.
BCBA,
and you're on your way to study for that. That's amazing.
Terrifying. But yeah, so I put things like little things like family. You know, healthier eating. My goal, I want to do 10,000 steps every day in 2026. It's a big goal because some days you just don't want to move. And then being a coach for my daughter's running team, which I'm in the process of doing that too. So that's another thing to add to the list. And then little things
like this. It's already in the works. It's already happening. You're already doing the steps to get there.
I know. And so, like, I'm like 80% done with the modules for that. I have 3 sets of modules, guys, in my life going on. I have one for work, one for studying, and then one for the running. So it's a lot. So when I get tired of one, I just bounce to the next thing. But what is it? I think mid-January, I'm going for like an in-person training. And then after that, I'll be a coach. So I'm excited. But
that's really fun. That will be a fun activity, especially at 10.
I have this one because I don't know if you could see it. It's like super organized, like pantry. And then I also thought of our little friend because it's also in rainbow order. And I was like, oh. And so I don't even care if my pantry looks like that. That was just a symbol to me of just like, get it together, be minimal, get rid of some stuff that I don't need. Because, you know, typical ADD person, clutter in my house creates clutter in the brain. And I can't, I like deep clean the kitchen when I got home today, because that's what you just do on, you know, a Tuesday. And
these things you said you were going to do when you got home either. You're just like, I built a Lego set and clean my room. You're like, I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to like, mm-hmm. Change your whole plan
100%, and that's what happens every single day. And it's because like I try my best to go with the flow, because it's like he wants to build his Legos, so I'm like, let's do it. Literally, I showed, wait, hold on, where's my other paper? I might have to get my schedule that I showed you today, but I literally had to pencil in time with my kids in my block scheduling, which I hate, but like sometimes it doesn't happen that way, and sometimes you help put Legos together for 4 hours. But
And I always say it's so if you have, especially for parents that are working, because I think that all working parents have mom guilt or dad guilt, right? So it's kind of like, you know, we want to spend time with our kids, but we have to make money. So that's that work-life balance is so hard.
Yeah.
But I saw somebody who said it's not the quantity time, it's the quality time. So even if like spending like, so like you're gonna like build a Lego today, so like that's like some great quality time, because I think just making whatever time that you can, because that's kind of what I just try to like, whatever extra time that I have in my day like is probably being spent with my kids, because I think that quality is so important. And there's definitely a lot of guilt of like being a working parent, which most of us are, like that's the reality, is there's not as many stay-at-home parents anymore, like a lot of parents are working. So mm-hmm. So that quality time, like you spending the Legos, is like super important. That was like a really important part of your day, like, and probably to him too, to be able to do that.
And it's hard not to worry about the chaos of everything, you know, our laundry list of things that we need to do as parents.
Exactly, because you're like, I gotta do this, right? Like,
yeah,
I try to put all of my schedule times, like any meetings I have, any like clients I'm going to see or whatever, like I have them in my Google Calendar, and that's how I live my life. And the one thing I love about Google Calendar is that I can easily delete something or move it. Like it's like been a lifesaver for me. I've been using it probably for the last 4 years now, and I love it because I use it all the time for like my personal stuff, and then for anything I need to go see somebody or whatever I need to go do. And I can even use it as a link, like if I'm doing like a telehealth, like I can go ahead and just send them the link on Google.
Nice.
I love Google Calendar. Like I'm telling Google Calendar, there's other stuff out there, but Google Calendar to me is the best.
I'll have to get on that. I'm sure that I have. Well, obviously you sent me the link earlier.
Yeah. Well, Dan and I's first date, I was like, he told me, well, he kept like telling me stuff like, oh, I totaled my car and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, did you like, did you total your car? Like I was starting to like maybe not believe all the things he was saying. And he's like blowing me off. So I said, so he called me and he's like, hey, how about Monday we go on a date to Dave and Buster's? And I said, what time? And then he said like 6 o'clock or whatever it was. And I said, okay, I'm going to send you a Google Calendar invite. What is your email? And he's like, what? Like that was our first date. My Google Calendar invite. And he's like, what? Yeah. A calendar invite? And I said, I want to make sure you're going to come.
I love that. That's great.
He did. He showed up. He's like, I got your invite.
Yeah, there you go.
I didn't scare him off. Like, probably nothing will, you know, like, I had to add it on there. Like, I was like, maybe this will be good. It will, like, make me look good because it's like my schedule is so busy. I need to pencil you in.
Yeah.
So,
oh, I love it. That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was just a side story about Google Calendar. But I do love that. And I totally understand trying to schedule time with your kids and block them in, because that's important. But, you know, as working parents, it's hard.
Yeah. It's a lot. What are your goals as a BCBA and a mom of a million?
Well, we all live in a shoe together. So, just kidding. Like, I feel like every time I talk to you, you're like, Allie has like 50 kids. Allie has 100 kids.
Well, I said it before, and I don't know if you heard me with the vision board. You forgot to put the sprinter van I told you about earlier for your soccer team.
Yeah, I do need a bigger, vehicle. Right. So that way, if any more just kind of come up.
Yeah.
My goals, so there's a couple secret, not so secret projects that I am working on. I do have an LLC. So I think, you know, all of that, I guess my biggest goals for 2026 is seeing growth. I definitely want to see growth in the podcast and our audience. And I want it to just really, what I want for this podcast is it to find the right people, like providers, parents. I want it to be a space where we can kind of come together and be able to have a space to collaborate. And I just think that there's a lot of things like that are separated, like professionally, like, you know, this is just for the professionals that know this, and this is just for the parents. But like being an ABA provider and a parent, like I'm like, that's kind of just my life. Like I always have all of this, like the knowledge in the back of my mind, and I try mm-hmm. to apply it to my life. And then also it's my job. And I think there's just a lot of things that can help parents. And it's a lot of like aha moments. I think it's like, oh, I didn't know I could do that. Or like, or just to even just feel supported, I think is a big thing too. And I think a lot of parents in the autism community feel isolated. And, you know, a lot of parents I've talked to feel that way, or they don't go places or afraid to go places, or they don't have that many friends because they're afraid to bring their child out, or like they've lost friends because of the situation. And I think that's really hard. So I'm hoping that in 2026, I really, and even now, but it definitely next year, I really want this to reach the right people.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important piece. And then, yeah, I think my biggest thing is just seeing growth. And then also like, as far as just being on a health journey, bettering myself all around, like being a better mom, being a better analyst, a better person in general, just better. Like I knew me, but it's not really new me. It's just growth. Me with growth. That's what I want to see in 2026. And I will be using lots of Google Calendar all the time. It's still my favorite tool to use. And I think another thing too is that you were talking about clutter is organization is definitely like stuff around me. It's hard with kids like that. Mm-hmm. They're not, I don't know if you know this, but especially teenagers are not extremely motivated intrinsically to clean up. So, you know, there's
well, mine, thank God, my preteen is still doing really good. It's just the youngest one that is like a Tasmanian devil. It's just everywhere. It's just a tornado. And it's usually involving slime. So
oh my gosh. No, I tell them slime outside. Like I think slime is fun.
I think we got like 3 or 4 slime kits and I've taken all of them away since
Christmas. Yeah, it gets everywhere. It depends on the slime. Like there's some slime which I'm like, this is okay, but then some of it just sticks like and I can't get it off my hands. And then
I don't want to say it too loud. I'm not trying to make him upset. But I found her the other day in Adam's bed with her hair stuck with slime on the bed. So she was really tired and I moved her because she was falling off the bed and she screamed. And I'm like, it was just a big goop of glue, essentially. And so she was really tired. And then she had to go sit in the bathtub to go get that out of her hair.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
that was fun. That's a very triggering story for the other one.
I could totally see my kids doing that, especially my 9-year-old, for sure, 100%.
Yeah. No, they're like twins, see?
Love it. Yeah.
Another thing you forgot to mention, your goal, your $2 million.
Yes. So I was on Zillow the other day. I like to periodically go on Zillow and like look at my future house. And so I found this house for $2 million, which I'm like, that's just a small amount, just $2 million, right? A small, yeah, that's what Noah said. He's like, it's a small fee. So yeah, I was like, yeah, it's a mortgage of $2 million.
You have your support system. Noah supports you.
Right.
Thank
yeah.
You.
And I was like, look, there's enough bedrooms for all of us. Right. Like there's 6 bedrooms. Like it's great. There's a pool. It's right by the beach. Like it's perfect. Like I love it. So I was like, yeah, you guys get on board with that $2 million home. It's perfect for us.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
And that's another thing, too, is like being a mom with like a larger family is that the space sometimes, like I have a pretty nice size house, but like there's just more of us. So that's always a thing, too. So when I get that $2 million house, that's going to be great. That's going to help out a lot.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Put it on the Google Calendar.
Yeah, I have the Google Calendar. 2026 is going to be a great year.
Right.
But I think reinforcers are super important because you have to know like why you're doing it and to like keep yourself motivated, because I think after a while, I think a lot of times when we first start something, we get very excited and then we start it and then but we lose that motivation over time. So it's really important to continuously find even like small reinforcers to be able to like continue. Mm-hmm. And I was just telling Erica before we started this is like, I even have a plan I'm supposed to be editing right now. But instead, I'm going to make edits on my videos because I find that like I like doing that better. And it's very much like avoidance doing the other tasks that I need to do. But I really love like editing videos. Like it's work, but it's like, I think what you said is it's just not as like you don't have to think as hard. Like you just have to like sit and like edit and like find out what you like. It's very visual too, which is nice. Yeah. Like it's visual and audio. And I think I like my brain likes that over typing
and reading. Yeah. I get that.
Yeah.
So with 2026 for me, I've already checked out something big before 2026, but I graduated. So we're done with that part. Worst case scenario, I have my master's. So yay. I know. Oh, I don't want to hear it. So, I don't know if you heard that. You good?
Adam, I'm on a video, dude.
But so besides that, he pretends he's sick. And so now he has the piranha plant pipe and he's just like, just spitting out pretzels.
That's fun.
So the BCABA, I'm going to test for that first. I want to get my experience with that, feel pretty confident, and then maybe in 2-3 years, go take the BCBA. The salary increase from RBT to BCABA is going to make a crazy difference for me and my kids. So I'm okay going to that level for right now until I feel more comfortable, and then I'll move up to BCBA. It's stressful. I'm going to have to go get my list too. So I could show you how crazy my weekly schedule is. Okay, so my schedule, I have to schedule studying for the BCABA. I have to, which Google, my friend, told me that people, before they test, they try to study 10 to 20 hours a week. Ma'am, I cannot do that. I watched a podcast yesterday and the lady had said like, oh yeah, just sit and read your Cooper book for 2 hours. And anybody in this field knows it's hard.
It's very dry.
I'll have to find it so everybody can see. It's 1,000, literally like 1,000 page book. It's like about that thick.
It's the ABA Bible. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's what we refer to for...
It's very dry and, you know, I need my picture books. No, I'm just kidding. But like, it's a lot. Yay.
There's grass in it. I mean, there's grass, though.
Like, yeah. And it's just, visual. It's a lot. It's a lot.
It is.
Besides studying, I'm working as an RBT and student analyst and plan on like increasing the amount of programming and stuff that I'm doing for my client. I'll get there, Allie. And then parenting 2 kids as a single mom, making time for myself and my mental health, going to the gym. And I am trying to do that, you know, studying for the BCABA, working as an RBT and a student analyst, parenting 2 kids as a single mom, making time for my mental health and going to the gym, which my goal in 2026 is to go 3 to 4 times a week. Board member for a local nonprofit. So that takes a decent amount of time. And then, you know, my kids have a life too. So one kid is in 1 extracurricular, another one's in 2 extracurriculars. And then I'm going to be a running coach in one of those extracurriculars. So it's going to be fun. Yeah. And so with
Okay, so with ABA, there's self-monitoring, like we talked about before. Like, I record baseline on, and then reinforcement systems. I think we kind of talked about that too already, that I don't have any current, I guess the only reinforcement that I have in place now is that goal of like, hey, if I lose 10, 15 more pounds, I'm getting my new gym clothes. And like we talked about too before, the verbal praise. I don't know why I like the way verbal praise sounds like, but when I go to the gym, the gym family is there and they all encourage me to stay motivated, stay on top of my goals. They were all so happy to hear that I was graduating. And the day of my graduation, I was getting messages from people that I just met this community like 2 months ago. So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. That was amazing.
Yeah. And so we're just really encouraging, and it doesn't even have to do with the gym half the time. And then building studying into my routine, I feel like that is going to be the biggest challenge of the year, because I right now, okay. And I feel like I'm not the only person with a schedule like this, but I've made a schedule Monday to Sunday from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. because if I'm being honest, I'm falling asleep half the time before the kids do. So like, I'm not making it to study after the kids go to bed, but this is essentially my schedule. And so can you see here, guys? Only this amount of time is quote unquote free, even though my Saturdays normally don't look like that. My Saturdays are normally slammed. So I'm not going to, and all the yellows is when I have a couple minutes to study. So I have to figure out
how to schedule.
So like every day I have doing maybe half an hour worth of studying, which is cool if I have to test maybe at the end of the year. With having a goal, I would like to test probably before summer starts so that I can work as a BCABA slowly and increase over the summer. So when the school year starts in August, I can kind of hit the ground running and feel a little bit more confident. But it's a lot. It's a lot of stuff. But yeah, and then on top of that, you have to find time to work and make money and pay bills and go to the doctors. And
no,
it's too much. I'm losing my mind.
So I know that one benefit I had when I was studying for my BCBA exam was that it was during COVID. So I had a lot of time at home, but I was doing like after the kids go to bed. So like 9 p.m. to like 12 a.m. Like that was like my time I was dedicating myself to study. But that's it. It's a lot. It's exhausting to try to push yourself that hard and for that long.
Now, I'd note, as an RBT, are the courses that you have to pay an exorbitant amount of money? Like, I've seen some study guides and modules and courses and mock exams that cost like $1,000.
Yeah.
You know, our company offers, they work with another company, I guess, that offers one that's like $500. And then I've also seen YouTube videos that do mock exams. Like, what do you recommend?
Okay, so
I know we're a little off topic, but I'm curious.
No.
I forget,
a couple things. One is, I talked to other people that passed their exam, so I had some study material. Like they had like some study cards, like some notes that they took, like all of that kind of stuff, and that was super helpful too. Because I'm just like, hey, like, what do you have this to study with, like, can I borrow it? So that was a really helpful tool, but it wasn't everything I needed. I think YouTube videos, like the ones for free, are probably pretty good. I don't know that it's everything that you need. I think my biggest thing is I had a pass the big BCBA exam book. I didn't do the whole study thing for it. I had the book, which was helpful. It also had lots of visuals for me, which I was like, this is great. I love all the visuals.
Yeah.
I also did the Study Notes ABA Collective. I did like the crash course of 30 days. I was like, I'm just going to do it. And I like drilled through all of that. And when I took it twice. So like the first time I took it, I was so close. I was like points away from passing. And so I was like hit the ground running and just studied everything all over again. Like not just the specific areas that I missed those couple of questions in. I studied everything over again and I passed. And I think that was really helpful and it helped me like build my confidence. However, that was a lot of money to be like, okay, that was my baseline. That's what I have on my first exam. Now let's study everything all over again.
Yeah.
But I definitely pushed really hard
The studying. I found the study notes ABA helpful because they're also kind of raunchy and it helps you remember a lot of stuff, I think.
Yeah.
So I did really like that and it was easy to too. And then I started listening to like their podcasts and stuff too. So I really liked that. And I think too, if you're a visual learner at all, like that's really helpful for visual learners. And so is past the big ABA exam, right? Those are pretty good too, but I think the study notes ABA was good. Like that one, I really think that helped me. Yeah. And I did a couple mocks. I did one from FIT. That I think was good. It kind of just showed me. I did it when I was like closer to my test date and it gave me a little bit of confidence to show like I kind of knew what I was getting into and like what the questions might be like. They were pretty similar, I think, the FIT mock exam. Honestly, like the way I look at it is like, yeah, you're spending this money on this material and it stinks, especially when you're an RBT and you're making less than you would as an analyst. But in the end, if it's going to help you pass your exam, I think it's worth it. I think it's kind of a shame, like how expensive all the study material is. I think just pick what you like the best and what's going to help you. And that's what you should kind of focus and pay for rather than buying a whole bunch of stuff that you might just be a waste of money. Because I think it's expensive and it's already expensive to sign up for the exam, like all of that stuff. And if you have to retake the exam, then that's expensive. So I think that's kind of the best way. Find what you like the best to start. Like kind of like they usually have like a sample or something you can kind of look at to kind of decide which one is going to be best for you. All the free stuff, I would take advantage of any free resources you have. And sometimes like some study groups, like they'll like questions and things like, I have a question, like, you know, like a mock question. And that is really helpful too. Like if you have a group. I always think it's better to like I had somebody who I met through a study group on Facebook that was studying for the exam the same time that I was. And we actually just got on and like studied together. And that was really helpful. And that, you know, body doubling is helpful too. A research on body doubling. So if you have somebody that's doing it with you, that's super helpful. So I think it just kind of depends, but just kind of explore your resources. I think to me, I always tell people like study notes ABA to me was like the best, like, and it helped me remember a lot of things. I also made sure the first thing I did when I sat at my exam, I didn't do it the first time, but the second time I wrote my name and then wrote BCBA after it. And then when I finished my test, I wrote my name and BCBA after it. And I think it just helped with my confidence during the test.
Yeah.
So manifesting that.
I know. And I'm telling you, with that RBT test, I just remember going in there, taking a breath and like, whatever, if I fail, I take it again. And it's like that literally, I felt like it washed off of me, like that anxiety. And it's just like, you know, I don't know. Well, we'll see. Pray for me, guys. Good vibes.
You're going to do like just go in and just have the mindset, like just study the best that you can. And then I think the good mindset too is just like, hey, like if I don't pass this, like it's okay. It's like there's always like another chance. And I think too, like it does give you like a good baseline. Like it tells you like kind of the areas where you could study more. I just hit the ground running. I'm like, no, pedal to the metal. Let's go. I'm doing it all over again. Studying like I've never studied.
UWF, my last class, which kind of drove me crazy because, you know, you pay for Central Reach for staff meds. You paid that whatever it was, $100, $200. And then they made me buy another program for my last class, which essentially it had staff meds and it had the mock exam. And like I told you, you know, I wasn't that first like mock exam. I was able to kind of wander around. They gave you 4 hours, but like I forgot I was taking it at one point because I got distracted just being a mom. And then it's like, I think I got like a 76% and I needed like 80% to like pass for the class, right? And so we take it multiple times. So I got 76% and I was like, oh my God. And that's with me like not fully like locked in, you know? And then at the end of the semester, like I got, I think an 81. So I feel like that gave me such a confidence boost of like, okay, maybe I know more than I think I do. Oh, and I have this on my lap like it's a child. I forgot to show you guys. This is the Cooper book. Look at this. It's 1,000 pages and look at all the colorful tabs.
Yeah, the tabs are helpful. Tabs are great, and it's and I think too, it's better that you just finish, go and you practice and go and take your exam, because one thing I didn't do, I kind of just did it totally, I don't know, not backwards, but I finished. I had trouble at the time, like getting supervision because I was like working in schools. Like, you know, so it was hard because I master's degree in 2017. And then I just had a hard time like going and finding a supervisor. And then I worked for a different school system as a behavior specialist, and I was able to get my supervision there. But it was after I graduated. So I graduated in 2017 and then started my supervision. So I had no supervision through school. And then so it was in 2020, like I graduated in 2017 and then took my test in 2020. So 3 years later, I'm taking my test, and I'm like, school was like a while. Like, I don't remember all that stuff from school. Yeah. You know? So, I mean, you know, so I think that it would have probably been a lot easier if I did it that way. But I just really pushed really hard with the studying. I had a lot of small, which I think, too, like that's for any goal, too, because we're just talking about goals in general, is like celebrating small wins. So like any kind of like small win you have, it's just like you said, for your SAF meds is like, oh, good, I got like an 81%. Like maybe I know some stuff, like that's a time to celebrate. So any like small wins or victories, like whether you're studying or you're trying to lose weight or whatever it might be, anything that you have, like, you know, it's like my jeans are fitting like better, or like I'm down like another size or whatever it might be, even though it's not your overall like big long-term goal, like celebrate all the small wins, because that's what's going to keep you motivated. Like you've got to accomplish and shape that behavior. Like you can't just expect to have this big thing. Like it just doesn't, that's just not how it works. So
another thing that I find really hard, and it's so funny because I feel like I'm the worst at taking my own advice. So I always tell people, like, give yourself grace, you know, like you're doing the best you can. I feel like when I started giving myself grace, that's when I started to like thrive the most in life. Because, you know, as moms, like you said, we have mom guilt over everything. So giving yourself grace, you know, the progress over perfection. I'm the type of person, I expect to know my entire new career, my new job in like 2 weeks. And in ABA, I'm never going to know 100% of this field. And I just have to come to terms with that. I expect to kind of, like you said, hit the ground running. But I know that I'm going to have a million questions. So be prepared. Once I do get certified, I'm going to need you to hold my hand the entire way. But yeah, celebrating the wins.
It's fine. Remember, I will gladly hold your hand. It's scary.
I know. And I want everybody to remember too, like, at any point, you can reset your goal. You know, it doesn't have to be a January 1st kind of thing. You don't, you know, I started this weight loss, life changing, getting better, healthy thing in like middle of October. Would I have liked to do it the first of the year? Yeah. But like, don't wait around. Like, just have your goal and just start chipping away at it every day. And it's like you set those, I don't know, those small wins always become bigger and bigger the longer you keep trying to achieve your goal.
And sometimes too, like there's like not necessarily this isn't ABA like in nature, but like they say like the 21 days like it becomes a habit. But if you're doing something, like it does become like a learn, like, so that piece is kind of is human behavior, right? So like if we're getting used to like doing the same thing, right, it becomes learned. So it's now like a learned behavior. So like if I don't make my bed every day, like I'm going to be really honest, but like if I were to make my bed every day and I do that for a period of time, I can't say this 21 days because I don't know that that's an exact science behind that. But the human behavior is that is like I'm doing the same thing every day. And now this is like a learned behavior. So like I've learned, like I make my bed and then now it feels good when I, you know, I lay in it at nighttime or whatever. So but you have to do things kind of habitually for like a while. And that's one thing too, is like with ABA, I think that separates us a little bit different from like OT or speech, where there it's like you're doing therapy like for like an hour, right? So like it's like a 1 hour 2 hours or whatever it might be a week versus ABA is usually more hours. And one of the reasons for that is because whatever replacement skills that you're doing, it has to be over time. So like it has to be over a period. So like, you know, and it all depends on the client, on the individual person, on how many hours they have. And also like insurance can be a barrier too. But most insurance is like, I'd say overall, like we'll approve the hours requested as long as you have like the medical necessity to say like this client needs this many hours. But basically, as far as that is concerned, it takes time. Like it's not something that it's instant. Like you can do one or twice a week. Like, so if I just said, I want to lose weight. And so I just like, you know, whatever I'm doing to like help, like I eat salad twice a week, but the rest of the week I'm eating McDonald's. Like that's not going to be very helpful. And I think the same way with ABA therapy, it's like you can't do something different the rest of the time and then expect progress. Like you, that's why it has to be consistency over time. So the more that you do something, right, and the more like you're reinforcing like your own behaviors, the more likely that you're going to do it in the future. Reinforcement means like the likely when you're reinforcing behavior and positive or negative, it's going to be more likely that you're going to do it in the future. All right, Erica, this has been so fun. I want to do more of these in your spare time. So let me know when you have spare time.
Let me pencil me check my schedule.
Pencil me in. I'll add you to Google Calendar. Okay. Like I do everything else in my life, I add it to Google Calendar. And you add me in, you cancel it, right? Like yeah. You'll do your hand.
Totally.
I just want everybody to know, I just want to tell everyone to have a happy new year. I'm going to edit this video. We're making this the day before New Year's Eve. And I enjoy editing videos. That's something that is very preferred for me. So I am very excited to have this released tomorrow. And I'm excited to hear what everyone's doing in 2026 and all of our goals. So this time next year, I feel like our podcast is just totally going to grow. And I can't wait to see, you know, the amount of listeners that we have and just finding the right people. And if you're listening today, I just want to let you know that you're not alone on this journey, whether you're a parent, provider, we want you here. Listen in, share it with friends or family if any of this has been helpful to you. Until next time, bye.